All right, Eric's on the mound, y'all.
You lied, brother.
All right. Well, good morning, guys. I'm gonna do my best to speak up a little bit. I am feeling a little under the weather this morning, and feel like I'm losing my voice, which ironically it doesn't happen very often, but it happened this week. So turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13, the book of John, chapter 13. And we get to see one of the greatest teachings by example or illustration of Christ. Ironically, right before what I would consider the greatest glorification or blessing that we've ever seen in the way of the cross. And Jesus dying on the cross for us so that we can be brought back to life. But right before the crucifixion, we see a moment occur where Jesus teaches the disciples what he would consider to be, what does it look like to experience greatness, power? What is man's understanding versus God's understanding of what power looks like, what strength looks like, what greatness looks like? And so, ironically, as I was studying this week, I was preparing for the message, and 1 hour ago, as I was looking over my notes and just kind of in the spirit asking God, just like he revealed to me this question that I reversed. So if we look at the book of John in chapter 13, there's a correlation, because we know that there's other gospels that we'll see similar stories written by different authors giving different perspectives. But the reality is that there's no other gospels that talk about a washing of the feet. It's only in John. But there's a similar story in Luke in chapter 22, which references the disciples arguing over who is the greatest disciple of them all. And we know that because we could go back into Mark, we could go back into other stories, and we know of John and James who were sort of disputing over who's going to sit at the side of Jesus. We know my boy Simon Peter, who I see a lot of myself in, who, you know, in this particular chapter, he speaks to Jesus, but he's really one of the disciples who steps up in strength and speaks on behalf of other disciples as a leader and what leadership looks like. And so there's this dispute that I thought up until an hour ago happened before the washing of the feet. So in my mind, I'm preparing this message saying, hey, Jesus taught the disciples about who is the greatest among them, and then he went and washed the feet. And an hour ago, I'm just sitting there just doing my best to get man's thoughts out of my mind and start to receive God's, and it was downloaded and goes, that didn't happen that way. He washed the feet first, and then he taught the message. And so for me, it shifted a perspective. Because what it reminded me of is that for most of us, I know for me, so many things have happened in my life that I experience something, hardship, betrayal, pain, things that I go through in life, and I don't necessarily understand the why. Until Jesus comes and he begins to reveal the why later through a teaching. And that's precisely what happened in this. Jesus goes and he washes the feet of the disciples. And let's look at that. So turn with me to John 13, I'm going to be in NIV, and it says this. It says, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, and in the evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and they had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." That's where I started to realize that the things that we go through in life, we don't necessarily know the why, but later we will understand. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." And then Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet then, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." So we know he's talking about Judas, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's. I have set you an example that you should do as I've done for you." A couple of things that are worth pointing out here: that Jesus, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the one who came, is the one who's washing the feet of the disciples. It's the greatest display, it's the greatest example of servant leadership and what it looks like to lead well. What's happening here is that Jesus is revealing God's heart through this illustration of washing the disciples' feet. But we're about to experience that it goes completely 100% against man's understanding. Matter of fact, Peter looked at him and said, "No, you're not going to be the one to wash my feet. I'll be the one to wash yours." Like, who do you... And even Jesus said, "No." And then he went ahead, and when he realized what Jesus was saying, he said, "Well, wash the whole body." Yeah. What it represents is the fact that once you have been saved, you have been saved. Salvation comes once. But to walk with Christ daily is something we must do intentionally. The washing of the feet is a representation of our daily walk in life. And every day we must be renewed. You're saved already. God, Jesus lives inside of you. But the reality is we have to wake up every single day and go into this world and deal with things that we may not be so familiar with.
Take authority.
We may be running in situations that happen to us that don't feel good. To sit here and pretend like life is peachy, all is good, and all is well, I want to remind you of the days, if you're not living in hopelessness, that it comes. And for many of us, we go through tough times in life, and we go through seasons of life that become very difficult and very hard to walk through. But I want to remind you that those hardships that we go through, not only is Christ with you, but he's there to serve you. He's there to clean your feet every day. That every day we can wake up renewed, refreshed. That the perspective of our minds can be washed clean. It's the most beautiful portrayal of what this life looks like that goes against everything that we understand according to man's understanding of what it looks like to have strength, to have power, to have greatness. And Christ is revealing that through the most beautiful illustration of washing. Because washing the feet is the lowliest position that you can have. I mean, think about that. For all of us, we're wearing On Clouds or some sort of designer tennis shoes today. But the reality was back then, you were walking around on streets without shoes. And if you had sandals, you were considered to be blessed. But the reality is you walking through the dirt, the mud, and every single day, your feet were dirty to the point to where they needed to be clean. And the one Messiah, this is the part that wants to breaks my heart, is this: the looking at Jesus in a way that Jesus has come down, the highest of the high, the greatest of all, the one that's superior to all things, principalities, darkness, evil. He supersedes all of them, but he wants to wash your feet.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's love.
Yeah.
It's the greatest act of love. It is love. But what's crazy is it goes against man's understanding of it.
Yeah.
And it challenges it. And we, for self purposes, do everything in our power in order to wash our own feet.
He chose you.
Judas and Jesus in this story, we read on a little bit further because there's like 40 verses in here, but we find out that Jesus foretells the other disciples that one of them will be the one to betray him. And even at that point, they don't see it. They can't understand it. Sometimes when we're going through these seasons of life, it just doesn't make sense what you're dealing with, what you're going through financially, hardships, health-wise, things in your marriage, your children. You don't understand why you're going through it, but you're doing your very best to make sense of it. But we see in this story that even Judas is about to betray Jesus, and yet Jesus still washes Judas's feet. You know, when I was reading this, this was a moment for me that I looked back and I started to remember some of the greatest pain that has happened to me in my life. The reason why I had to learn what forgiveness was. That was a journey. I've said that I forgave people, but then I saw them in person and realized real quick that I didn't forgive them. I didn't think y'all were going to enjoy that story. I'll tell you a quick illustration.
Maybe we can relate.
Hey, I wasn't prepared for any of it, so here we go. No, honest to God, this is one of those seasons that I had something happen to me that I wish would have never happened to me. I got a piece of information that I wish I never would have received. Yeah. Somebody told me some information that if I would have not known, I would have been perfectly happy for the rest of my life. But I got shared information that I could not share. But I had to look at the people that I love the most and pretend like I didn't know the information. This included family. This included best friends. This included something that was very close to my heart. And I went through a very long time of having to hang out with the thorn in my side and really lean in to Christ to be able to forgive someone or forgive those who were involved because of what they did. And what's crazy is I couldn't do anything about it. Because if I would have said something about it, then I would have created something that was about me and it wasn't about God and took in the run. So long story short, I went on a journey to try to forgive. And this journey took me to a place where I finally felt like, you know what? I have forgiven. And the reality is one day I was walking into a soccer park with my kids in tow, And I see the person walking towards me with his children. And as he's walking towards me, I went and I hid in the bathroom with my two kids because I couldn't face them. Because I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to act. I didn't know what I was going to say. And I realized at that moment, I gave forgiveness. But did I ever receive forgiveness?
There you go.
Jesus came and washed the feet of the man who was going to betray him, because the man that got betrayed, it was part of God's sovereignty and his divineness. And for things that you go through in life, men, that are tough times, that people have betrayed you, for people that have done things to you, that have hurt you, that have kept you sick, that have kept you wounded, that have kept you in pain. Until you receive the forgiveness of Christ in your own life, you'll never be able to forgive anyone else in their life.
That's the first.
What was beautiful about this story that I really appreciated, even in the hour ago sort of curveball, was that Judas, when Jesus gave him the bread, he left. The story says that he got up from the table and he went out into the dark. That's what it says in verse 31. And he leaves and he gets out. And what I realized at that moment is when the teaching came. Do you know that there's going to be things that you're going to experience in life, and at the hand of the enemy, you'll never receive the teachings of Christ? It's not that Jesus won't wash your feet. It's the fact that sometimes you'll miss the teaching. You'll get the experience. You'll go through what it endures. But you'll miss the teaching of what God wants to show you.
As you believe.
And so now I want you to turn with me to Luke 22. And go to verse 24. And it says that a dispute also arose among them as to which is considered to be the greatest. And then Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors." I want to stop there for a second, because we know that there was a dispute that occurred amongst the disciples about who is the greatest. This is literally right after the washing of the feet. That's hard for me to process, because I'm going, if I just saw the Messiah wash the feet of me, the greatest example of leadership, I would assume that I would think, I get it. That makes perfect sense. But the reality is that the disciples were still arguing, which tells me just how much sin over 2,000 years can come in and distort man's perspective. He says, "The king of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors." What he was referring to was the leadership of the Gentiles considered to be Rome. And because of the hierarchy and because of the power, because of the greatness, he's saying, don't be like them. What they do is not the power that I do. That the strength and the greatness that comes from the kingdom realm is not the same as what it is in the worldly perspective. Don't be like them. He says, as a matter of fact, not only are they wrong in the way that they show off their strength, but then they turn around and then they call themselves benefactors.
Yeah.
As if they're helping you. Isn't that what the world looks like today?
Yeah.
That the ones who think that they have power, maybe the ones who allow them to have power,
thank you, man,
call themselves to be the ones who are helping you when they're not. And that's what Jesus was saying. Verse 26, he said, "But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who's at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. I really want to share this perspective because we see this moment that occurs between man's understanding of greatness versus God's understanding of greatness. And if we walk away today, I believe that the message that Christ wants us to walk away with is the understanding that it's two different perspectives. And not only did we see the example, but now we get the teaching from Christ. And what he's saying to them is that he's giving them a warning. How you think of greatness in man's perspective is not how it operates in God's perspective. One of my favorite books is a book called Good to Great.
Yeah.
It's a business book. I've read it 20 years ago and I've stole it. I've stole the messaging of it because I've integrated it in my marriage. I've integrated it in my parenting. I've integrated it into my life. And what it says is that the rules that get you from not good to good are not the same rules that get you to great.
Yeah.
And listen to me when I tell you this. In your greatest effort to be good or to be great, you can put the work in. You can stay up late. You can wake up early. You can read more than anybody else. You can do more. You can checkbox more. You can do more things. And you may be able to get a chance to experience greatness, but it'll be temporary and it won't last. Because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Christ. For us to experience a life of greatness according to a kingdom perspective has nothing to do with your efforts.
No, it's already done.
See, greatness operates by a total different set of rules. If you bring the same rules in good to experience great, it doesn't operate that way. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that greatness doesn't come the way you think it does. You see, in our world, we think of greatness as power, status, position. We measure greatness by achievement, recognition, influence, ranking, levels. I'm the boss. I got more money. I'm smarter. Can I tell you something that's going to help maybe shift the perspective a little bit? We are made in God's image.
That's it first.
God created us in his own image. And therefore, when he created us, he put a set of longings inside of each of us to be met fully in him. And what he says is be aware to not go to the world to get these longings met, but get them fully met in me. But greatness can be manipulated by man very easily. 2,000 years have proved this to us. But the reason why we struggle so much in this area, men, is because God created you for greatness.
Yeah. Predestined.
You belong to him. And when you surrender your flesh, you can experience greatness.
That's right.
From a kingdom perspective.
Yeah. Amen.
And we can stop chasing after worldly perspective of it. It's the most beautiful example of the washing of the feet. What he's saying is that as a longing inside of all of you, this is what I want you to understand. Every single one of you wake up Now, this is going to shift some perspective, so don't like jump down my throat here just a second. But what I call these are addictions that God put inside of you and me, and they're all the same. And one of these addictions that we wake up every single day and long for and need is love. To be loved. To be seen. To be admired. To be held. To be valued. It's a longing inside of every single one of our hearts. And God put it inside of our hearts in order for that longing to be met in Him. But what we do is we turn to this world and we think that that longing comes from a worldly perspective of greatness. And Jesus is going, no, no. He wants to tell you that greatness has already come on the cross 2,000 years ago to die for us. Amen. Glorification, glory has come. It's the greatest attempt to love you well, to love me well. And it has everything with you to receive it. And when you receive that love, what Jesus says is, now I want you to go wash the feet and love others as I have loved you.
Amen.
It's not the part where he says, I want you to go love others. He says, I want you to love others like I have loved you. Jesus has set the greatest example of love by washing our feet daily as a reminder of the cleansing that's required because of our first birth that must be cleansed so we can be brought back to life. I'm going to end with this one because I can't stop thinking about it as I'm teaching. And I wrote it down when I started thinking about this, and it really shifted for me one day. And I pray that maybe this shifts for you, or maybe it's just a good story. I remember being at a dinner table one day, and I got to give Donald his props on this one. I'm sitting with Donald, my partner and my friend, and we had a table, I don't know how many, all the kids were there, and it was me and Donald, and we were talking, and, you know, it was clear just in the room of just like sort of who. How can I say this without being conceited? Or we felt like we were the greatest in the room at the table. Let's just say it like that. And it was all of our children and our wives, and it was just sort of that environment. And I remember I must have had the stank on my heart. And I remember my wife spilt a glass of water or something, whether or not kids, I don't remember exactly how it happened, but it happened. And water felt on the floor. And where I was sitting, Donald was sitting right here. And I remember that moment, for the first thought that went through my head was shame and condemnation of my wife for spilling her drink onto the floor, onto the table, and somebody having to come pick it up, and that sort of perspective of self, that perspective of, like, you know, Eric, my flesh. And I remember Donald, while I was processing this thought of like, how stupid, how dumb. It's another glass she spilled. Before I even got to the end of my thought, Donald stood up and he ran over and he started to clean on the floor. And I was sitting there in my chair, and it quickly put me in a position to see the difference between man's perspective and God's perspective.
Amen. Yeah.
And how often in my life do I catch myself sitting there having an opinion,
right,
shaming, being judgmental, having an opinion, having a thought?
Your reaction.
But Jesus is the one that's washing my feet. Man, I believe Jesus wants us to walk away today as a reminder to you in your daily walk that he wants us to wash other people's feet.
Amen. Good.
That we are not to be standing up and stooping ourselves above anybody else, but below. And that, according to the kingdom realm, is the greatest act of humility, of service, and of love that we can ever portray to the people that God has entrusted us with in our life.
That's great, man.
Yeah. So, Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on a cross for us so that we may live. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for loving us enough. So, Father, I pray right now that through this illumination of the word, that today will be a day that will just be cemented inside of our hearts that we are to wash everybody's feet just like you washed ours. That it's the greatest act of love. So, Father, I pray that over these men. I pray that it'd be a seal or a covenant today. That in those moments of shaming people, in those moments of being judgmental, in those moments of thinking that we're greater than anybody else, that today would be a reminder to be able to fall below that and to remember just what your son did for us on the cross and how he washed our feet and how you love us so much. So, Father, thank you for every single man that's represented inside of this room and every family. Pray for their children and their grandchildren that you would bless them and guide them and keep them and protect them. And it's in your son Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.